Hallelujah. Amen. God is good to us, and I appreciate his presence this morning. Well, welcome to the year 2023. Some of you sitting here today, you may have thought that we'd never see this many years, but here we are, brand new year, the first day of a brand new year, and we now have 12 months, 52 weeks, 364 and a half more days left to make this year count for something. And so I'll just ask you, what are you going to make it count for? Where is it going to stand at the end of this year? Because if the Lord tarries, time's going to go on. And if he allows by his grace, we may see another year. And I don't know what that year will hold, but we have this one in front of us. And I want to see God's will done in our lives. Some have made New Year's resolutions, and I don't know what yours are, and I'm not going to ask you, and I'm not going to stand in the foyer to try and figure out what they are, because as one preacher said, New Year's resolutions go in one year and out the next. And I said, it's about the truth. Oftentimes, if we'd be honest, most New Year's resolutions don't last a year. A lot of them last a day or two or a week or two maybe. And some people even pull out to make it last a few months. And then you find the rare occasional individual that'll make a resolution and stick with it. But I will tell you this, there are some things that we could do to enhance our lives with the Lord. And anything that you can do to draw closer to him, it's a good resolution to make. And if you make that one, stick with it. Amen. But I want to look today, we're going to focus on a familiar phrase that's found in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. You're probably going to recognize this almost immediately as we read it, but I want us to take our Bibles this morning. We're going to turn there and read it. I'm going to try to use this cordless this morning, brother, if I can. So we're going to look here in Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to read just a few verses of Scripture here, verses 14 through 16, as we're entering into this new year, and if the Lord tarries, all the opportunities it may afford us, some hardships it may bring, some difficulties. I've tried to make it my personal prerogative in prayer. Almost every day I try to pray the words, Lord, I don't know what this day holds, but whether it brings grief or joy, let me glorify you in it. And that's kind of what I try to pray every day, just personally. I say, Lord, whatever it brings, let me make the right decision so as to glorify you. But now as we stand with a year in front of us, if the Lord tarries, as I say often, we have plenty of opportunities perhaps to do more for the Lord, to draw closer. And I would like to see us maximize upon that. But in order to do that, we've got to have our hearts and minds in the right place. And I know this morning we're having our first Sunday fellowship lunch afterwards, so I will be mindful of that. But I am going to take time to go to the Word of God this morning because I believe this is of supreme importance. I believe that, supreme importance. And so let's go there. Ephesians 5 and verse 14, if you're there, say amen. The Bible says this, Paul writing to the church there in Ephesus, he says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that thou walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. As we look at that, verse 16, I want to read it one more time. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. As we look at the New Testament, there are two words, and you may not know this, but I'll just share with you this morning. Some of you may. Very likely, I know some of you have studied Scripture for a long time. You've been introduced and been had the privilege of sitting under good Bible teaching, so you may know this. But as we look at the New Testament, there are two words in the Greek that are both translated with our English word time. And you say, well, what difference does that make? It's all Greek to me. Well, I want to share it with you because it's kind of important to what I want to say this morning. First of all is the Greek word chronos. This speaks of moments of time that are measured with seconds, minutes, hours, days, or even perhaps years. It's a specific time period. But the word that is used there when Paul declares this this phrase that may be familiar to you if you've grown up reading the King James Version there in verse 16, redeeming the time, is not the Greek word chronos, but actually is the Greek word kairos, which translated and is often used to refer to a season or an opportunity. This is the term that is used here when Paul says that we are to redeem the time, or we are to redeem the opportunities or the seasons that God has given us. If you would actually look and you would update the translation a little bit, many of your modern translations render this verse in this way, that we are to make the most of every opportunity. And I will tell you, as I stand looking out into 2023, not knowing what it stands, what it will hold and what will happen in this year, I say, Lord, help me and help this church redeem the time or make the very most of every opportunity that you have given us. I want us to look and consider this instruction given by the Apostle Paul here, and I want to preach a message this morning simply entitled this, The Time of Our Lives. The Time of Our Lives. Let's pray this morning. Ask God to bless His Word. Father, we love You. We praise You. We give You glory. Lord, You've given us time in our lives, so we don't know how long that time will be, but Lord, we trust You with it. And as believers, Lord, we believe that You work all things together for the good of those that love You and are Thee called according to Your purpose. And I pray, Lord, this morning on this first day of 2023, our bodies may be tired, our minds may be weary, but Lord, I ask that You'd touch our spirit this morning, Lord, and come down and quicken our hearts, Lord, to make the very most of the opportunity that has been afforded unto us. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I want to remind you today that time is a commodity that we all possess one moment at a time. And what I mean by that is none of us know how much of this commodity called time that we have. And in fact, we don't even know how much we have left. I don't know how much you have. I don't know how much I have left, but I do know this. I got this moment right now, and it is up to me, and it is up to my will by the grace of God to make the very most of it, make it count for something. And as we look at this morning, there are four things I would like for us to consider in this message. And the first one is this. As we talk about time and the time that we have in our lives, I want us to consider this. None of it's new, but perhaps to bring it back to our member. First of all, time is a provided commodity. It is something that is provided unto us. God is the creator of time and opportunity, and we need to be mindful of the fact that the time that we have is provided from His hand. Time is a gift from God, something given unto us in order we have time to work, we have time to serve in the kingdom of God, we have time to love others, we have time to even laugh and enjoy ourselves. These are all blessings that have been provided by God through the opportunity and the commodity of time. Like any gift, the value that you receive from it is totally up to you. You understand what I mean? What is the value of the time that you have left upon this earth? That is completely up to you. You've got to make the most of it. You've got to make it work and count for something. And that is your responsibility. I will ask you, how much is the time that you have upon this earth worth to you? How much is it worth to you? There's a lot of people view time as just something that really passes by slowly, and they wish it would speed up. There are others that wish it would slow down, but they never really take the moment and the time to consider the fact that the opportunity and the moments of life pass by quickly, and they have been provided at the hand of a loving God. I ask you this morning as well. Do you view each day as a gift from God's hand? Is it something when you wake up in the morning, do you think about, this is a gift that God has provided me with, and I may never see a sunset, but until the moment that breath leaves my body, I want to view this time that I have as a borrowed gift provided by the hand of a benevolent Father who loves me and will care for me and keep His hand upon me as long as I serve Him and bring glory unto His name. You see, God doesn't have to take my life from me. You know, I want to stop right there. I got it in my notes, but I want to stop right here. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, God took their life? You ever heard anybody say that? I've heard people make that comment. You know, well, God took them too young. You know what the fact of the matter is? God doesn't have to take my life from me at any moment. Simply this, He just has to stop giving it. Think about it. He gives me life every day. He affords for me the opportunity to live every day. He don't have to take my life from me. All He has to do is one morning when I wake up to stop giving me the breath that I breathe, stop giving me the faculties that I have to dress myself and carry myself as a normal human being, and I would cease to exist at that moment. You say, I don't know about that. Well, think about Nebuchadnezzar. He looked out across his kingdom and he said in his heart, and I may be paraphrasing here, I can't remember the exact words that are used, but basically he said, look at this great kingdom that I have built up. And immediately, God just allowed his faculties to leave him. He stopped giving Nebuchadnezzar the faculties that he needed to operate like a normal human being. And the next time that people come along looking for King Nebuchadnezzar, and perhaps one of the servants come up, oh, where's the king? Well, he's out there in the field. What do you mean he's in the field? You mean that groveling person down there in the sand who doesn't even know his right hand from his left, and he's down there acting like a beast, and eventually his fingernails grow out like talons? You mean to tell me that's the great King Nebuchadnezzar? Absolutely, because in a moment God just chose not to give him those faculties, and there he fell apart at the seams. Think about that. God isn't promised to give you 75 years or 85 years or 95 years on this earth. Every day that He gives you something, it's a gift from His hand. And all that it takes is for God not to give that gift one day, and you're going to leave this world and dust shall return unto dust. Oh, do you remember what Jeremiah cried as he's looking out across the burning city there, and the people have been taken into captivity, and there he sings the funeral songs of Israel, and in Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 22, he comes to this startling realization. He says these words, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." He said, "Oh, and they are renewed every morning." In other words, he said, it's of the Lord's mercies that this hasn't happened before now. We'd be consumed utterly if it wasn't for God's mercies being renewed upon us every day. Do you think about that when you wake up in the morning time, that God's mercies are new today? That I have a brand new opportunity to show forth the grace and the love of God? Or maybe you can hear it in the words of the Apostle Paul when he stood there in the house of Areopagus there, and he says there in Acts chapter 17 and verse 28, "For in Him we live, we move, and we have our being." In other words, he said, you wouldn't be able to live. You wouldn't even be able to move. Oh, if God all of a sudden wanted to, He could cause the very, I don't even know how to say it, but the very tenacity within my joints to freeze up in a moment, and I could stand frozen in time, because God has the ability, and every day is an opportunity that He has afforded me. I say, God, help us to realize that this is a gift from Your hand. Don't let me waste it. Let me be a good steward of that which You have given me. Oh, the time that makes up our lives is a commodity that has been provided by the hands of God Himself. You know, one day you're going to give an account of how you have made use of the opportunities that your life has afforded you. Oh, you say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm not going to have to stand in judgment. Oh, you better read again, believer. There will come a day you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ as a believer. And God forbid, if you're an unbeliever, you'll stand before the great white throne judgment. But one way or another, you are going to give an account of how you have used the opportunities of your life, how you have taken that gift from God and put it into action. I say, when I stand before Him, let me be able to hold my head and say, Lord, I know I could have done more, but I did try to make the very most of the time that you have given me. Because there will come a day we will give an account. Oh, there are 24 hours, 1,440 minutes, 86,400 seconds in every day. We are all given the same amount every day if we so live, and it is up to us on how we use what is given unto us. Oh, I like this little poem I read studying this week, and I'll just share it with you. The writer said this, I have only just a minute with only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, I can't refuse it, but it's up to me just how I use it. And I must suffer if I lose it, and give God account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. So think about that. The missed opportunities, the times in which God, in His good grace, has provided us opportunity, afforded us the ability, given everything, set everything just in order, and we have turned our eyes away and missed the opportunities that He has afforded. That's convicting. If it's not for you, it is for me. The difference is not who has more time, but how we use the time that we got. You know? I'm going to get more into it later, but there are men that didn't have much time upon this earth, but they made the very most of the time that they had. And you have people who had only a decade of ministry, but they made a mark for God. Whereas you have some people live at 70, 80, 90 years, and they have opportunity after opportunity, but they missed most of the opportunity. I will tell you, it'll be a fearful thing to stand before a holy God and say that I've wasted my life and I failed to do His will. Can't imagine. Saying, oh God. Somebody say, Brother Shane, well, how did you end up pastoring this church? I'll tell you, part of it is this. Because I know one day I am going to stand before a holy God. I can promise you, it'd be much easier to keep a secular job on certain days. It'd be much easier to keep a secular job and work towards something. You can punch out and you can go home and leave. You can leave it all behind. You don't have to worry about it. But I'll tell you this. One of the compelling things is this. I know what God's called me to. And I'm going to have to give an account for the opportunities that I have used and the opportunities that I have abused. And I say, God, don't let me waste the opportunities that have been so preciously provided by Your hand. Not only is time a provided commodity, but also it is a present commodity. There are 2 days that can steal the strength and joy of serving God today. And you know what they are. First of all, there's yesterday. There is a reason that yesterday is behind us and not in front of us. So remember that and leave it there. Remember that and leave it there. It's okay to remember what God's done in the past, but you can't live there. You know what I love, as the Apostle Paul says there in the book of Philippians there, he writes it so well, and I can't really top it, so I'll just quote it to you. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are where? Behind. And now I stretch forth unto those things which are ahead. Literally, that idea to stretch forth means to strain with every fiber, to reach with everything you got. I will tell you, if you're not careful, yesterday has a way of robbing us of the joy and the opportunity of today. There are a lot of things that Paul had to put in his rearview mirror whenever he chose to serve Christ. Think about it. First of all, he had past guilt. You don't think that that man ever felt guilty for putting Christians to death and being responsible for them dying? Oh, yes, he did. There's a reason why he mentions it often. There's a reason why when he's writing to his young disciple Timothy there, he writes unto him and he says, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Oh yes, he remembered. He had those vivid images of putting Christians to death. But you know what he had to learn to do? Put it behind him where it belonged. Put it under the blood. The second thing he had to put behind him was past glory. He had all of the reasons to boast in and of himself. And before he was even saved, he could say, I'm a Pharisee. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I have all of these reasons to check off all the boxes and stand in the glory of my flesh. But he said, I count it all but dung. It's refuse. It means nothing to me that I may gain the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He says, I put it behind me. I've counted it as loss. Not only the past glory of that, but what about just the fact of who the Apostle Paul was when he's writing at this time in Philippi? It's later on in his ministry. He's seen God moved. He's seen miracles. He's watched the hand of God. Wouldn't it have been easy for him to get lifted up in pride? But he said, you know what? I put all that behind me. He said, I'm reaching forward because there's something ahead of me that's greater, but I've got to press in this moment. His past griefs that he had to leave behind. You don't think it brought grief to him whenever Demas forsook him, having loved the present world? Don't you think it brought grief to him whenever people that he preached to and he taught with and he founded churches and he loved them and he shepherded them, and then the next thing he knows, they're riding against him and they're talking about him and they're running him down? He had all of these griefs, but he said, they're not going to stop me because I'm reaching out. I'm pressing on. Right now, I'm making the very most of the opportunity that God has afforded me. It's present. It's right now. And then the fourth thing, those past grudges. Don't you think? You better imagine the Apostle Paul probably had his feelings hurt. Not just the grief of it, but what about the grudge of it? Don't you think it was ever a little tinge of some temptation that said, Paul, you ought to hold a grudge against them. You did nothing but love them, but they treated you wrong. But you know what? He'd go on. He'd say, oh, I ride into you. He said, I now tell you with tears as he's riding in one place that they are now enemies of the cross. He didn't hold grudges. He left those behind him. And he said, I've got to press on all of those things behind me. Oh, I can't let it stop me today, because yesterday can have a way of robbing us of today. Not only yesterday, but you know what else can rob us another day? Tomorrow. When it comes to tomorrow, there are usually two camps that many people fall into. First of all, there are those who are anxiously waiting for tomorrow. You ever met somebody like that? They're always waiting for tomorrow or the next big opportunity. They're never taking time to live for today. They're always just can't wait for what's going to come next. There was one psychologist, and this isn't even a Christian statistic. It's just it's even a worldly statistic here. But a psychologist by the name of William Marston surveyed 3,000 people, and he asked the question, "What do you have to live for?" And you know what? 94% of the people that responded out of those 3,000 people, 94% of them said they were just enduring today so that they could live for tomorrow. Think about that. 94% of them said they were just enduring today so that they could live for tomorrow. And we say, well, that's not but such a big surprise, because they're not saved. Or I don't know whether they were or not, but we don't know their professing status of whether they were Christian or not. But you know how many people I've watched in the church live the same way? I'm just enduring today so that I can live tomorrow, or for this opportunity, for that next thing that's coming along. I say, oh God, no. If that comes, so be it. And I want to glorify God in the next opportunity. But I want to glorify God in the opportunity that I have right now. Don't be so focused in trying to live for tomorrow that you forget to live today. Oh, Many fail to find the joy and the fulfillment that God has for today because they're too busy looking for tomorrow. Second of all, not only those who look for or waiting for tomorrow, but those who worry about tomorrow. Oh, they're not looking anxiously at tomorrow. They're not looking expectantly to tomorrow. They're looking anxiously at tomorrow. These do not anticipate tomorrow, but they're anxious about their tomorrow. They're so caught up in worrying about tomorrow that they miss today. Christian, let me tell you something. If the Lord tarries and the rapture don't happen, you know what? Tomorrow morning the sun's going to come up. And we're going to live on. And God's kingdom's going to march on. Truth's going to stand. And God's still going to be true. And every man that stands against him is going to stand as a liar. Because the fact of the matter is this. We have no problem about our tomorrow as long as we know God today. Oh. They're so caught up with worrying about tomorrow, they miss today. Jesus warned about this in the very familiar text in Matthew 6 and 34. He said, "Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Just to update it a little bit, he says, don't worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its trouble. You have enough stuff to worry about today. And I'm not saying worry. That's probably not to concern yourself with today. I'm not going to say worry because I don't like worrying. You have enough stuff to concern your mind with today. Enough obligations. I'm not saying don't plan. I'm not saying throw your calendar out the window and never make plans to do anything again. That's foolishness. But I will tell you this. Make plans and trust God, but trust God for today. That if I never make it to those plans, God's been good. He holds my tomorrow, and I know that whatever He has in store is all right with me. Oh, you know, I find that God gives sufficient grace and strength for today only. God don't give me strength for tomorrow, today. Now, I believe He will tomorrow if He tarries. But He's not going to give me the grace and strength for tomorrow, today. He's going to give me the grace and strength for today, today. Make sense? So seek Him for today's strength. There's a phrase in the Old Testament that I like that relates to this concept of God's provision being for today. And you say, Old Testament, uh-oh. Well, you just listen to it. You've probably read it before. Deuteronomy 33 and 25. Oh, Moses, in his final sermon there to the people, he's talking to them. And he says, "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." Oh, I love that. Because in other words, you're going to have enough strength for every day that you live. So I just don't know. I don't know if I can deal with what God's put on my plate. I promise you, if you're still alive, He's going to give you the strength to make it through. I promise you that. Because if it's not true, then God is a liar. And we got a lot bigger problems than just your problems. We got a whole array of problems if we find out God's lied to us. But I don't believe He has. He said, "As thy days shall be, so shall thy strength be." Your strength will be equal your days, as some translations render it. You know what? I like what one man said. He said, "Worry does not take the sorrow out of tomorrow. It only takes the strength out of today." And that ain't the truth. Worry ain't going to solve nothing about tomorrow. It's only going to sap you of your strength today. So leave it tomorrow and deal with it then and let God move for you. Another wise man many thousands of years ago said these words. He said, "Look well to this one day, for it and it alone is life. Yesterday is only a dream and tomorrow is but a vision. Yet each day, when it is lived well, makes yesterday a dream of happiness and each tomorrow a vision of hope." Is that not true? We can't go back and change anything that happened yesterday. It's just like a dream. Now, anybody able to manipulate your dreams? No, I can't. Now, maybe you're one of those people that never have any dreams, and I don't have very many of them, but occasionally I do. But you know what? I've never had the opportunity to manipulate my dream. I can't change what happens in that dream. You know what? That's how yesterday is. It's like a dream. It may be very vivid. We may remember every detail about it. We may know exactly what happens. We may play it over and over and over in our mind, but we can't change anything about it. But every day lived well makes it a dream of happiness. Our yesterday's a dream of happiness. And it gives us hope for tomorrow, because then we can look ahead and say, oh, I know the God who holds my every tomorrow. Oh, third thing I'll mention this morning, not only is time a present commodity, but also it's a precious commodity. The art of living is to learn to spend your time wisely. Because if you think about it this way, time is life. The amount of time that you have is the amount of life that you have. Think about that. To waste time is to waste your life. That's honest. One man once stated that since death is a universal fact, that to murder someone was to steal their time upon the earth, because they were going to die anyway. Think about that. He said that the crime in murder basically is not the fact that you killed that person, because they were going to die. It's the fact that you stole the time and the opportunities that they had in this life. And I said, Lord, there are some people. One man said it this way. He said, to waste time is suicide by degrees, because we're wasting our life. That's what the Apostle Paul is writing about when he said we are to redeem the time. He said, don't waste the time that you've been given, because the days that you live in are evil days. Oh, I say, Lord, help us. This thing that we call life, this thing that is the days of our life, it is precious unto us. The psalmist would say these words in Psalm chapter 90 and verse 12. So teach us, Lord, teach us to number our days. Teach us to take count of them. Or in other words, not only to take count of our days, but to make our days count for something. He said, Lord, I don't want to just know how many days I'm going to live. He said, I want to know that the days that I live count for something, and they mean something. Because he goes on to say this in the remainder of that verse, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. In other words, that we may know how to live wisely, following after wisdom. Where is wisdom found? In the Word of God. In prayer. We could go through different things, and we may talk about more of that tonight. The test of how you value your time is seen in what you make priority in your life. Think about that. The things that are precious to you are the things that you're going to make time for. And Lord, I sure hope, and I found it so true in my own life. Lord, I'll put me here. I wasn't going to put you here. I'm going to put me here. Lord, don't let it be social media that I find most precious. Lord, don't let it be sitting in front of a television that I find being the most precious thing to me. You say, well, it's not really that precious. It's just something that I use to pass time. Careful, because time is precious. And once it's gone, it can never be regained. I'm not telling you don't ever watch television. Don't even take it there. I'm not telling you can't have social media. But be careful how you use it. Because remember this, the minutes and the hours that you spend on it are minutes and hours that you're never going to get back. They cannot be redeemed once they are gone. That hit me hard as I was studying this week. Don't let what is good steal away what is best. Don't let what is good take away what is best. Because we only have 24 hours every day. And there's a certain amount of that time you're going to sleep. Some people sleep 5 and 6 hours. Some people sleep more to 8 to 10 hours. I'm not here to ask you how many hours you sleep. I believe in getting good rest, and you rest until your body is rested, because an unrested body is a bad thing. But I would tell you this, when you're not resting, be mindful that the rest of those hours, once they're gone, they can never be redeemed. One man said it like this. Charles Hummel wrote a little booklet entitled The Tyranny of Urgency. In this incredible little booklet, he points out that a 30-hour day wouldn't solve the problem. You know, I've jokingly said it before. Lord, if I just had a few more hours in the day, I could get more done. In his booklet, he says, no. He said, because we would just find more things to do. We would just get more busy and we'd waste more time. We would, he says in his book there, we would soon be just as frustrated as we are now. A mother's work will never be finished. Neither is that of any student, teacher, minister, or anybody else we know. Neither will the passage of time help us to catch up. Your greatest danger, he declares, is letting the urgent things crowd out the important things. You know, I believe it's nothing more than a trick of the enemy, and you can disagree with me, but I believe it is, nonetheless, that all of these things come across our lives, the forefront of our lives, and how often they just seem so urgent. They got to be done right now. Anybody ever have anything like life? I know some of you are retired, but I know you still have things in your life that just seem so urgent. They got to be done right now. If you're like me, I'm the type of person, I'm going to do it right now or I may forget it. So it becomes urgent. And he said, the greatest danger in our lives is letting what becomes urgent crowd away what is important. You know how many times I've been there at the house and I get down to go pray? Let me be honest with you. Get down to go pray. My man, I can't wait to get in the presence of God. And I get down and I get about 3 lines into my first prayer. And all of a sudden something pops into my mind. Oh, that's got to get done today. Oh, it's important. And it seems all so urgent. And you know how many times I popped up from prayer and I went over there and did it. And 3.5 hours later, I found myself engrossed in something. It wasn't sinful. It was just something else. Because it felt so urgent at that moment. I had to get it done. So you know what I try to do? I'm not saying I always do it. I'm not perfect. But you know what I try to do? If it comes to my mind in prayer, I keep some paper near me. Keep my phone on me. And I write it down. I put a reminder and I say, hey, come back to this. This is important, but it can wait because I have something that's much more important right now. I've got to conduct business with my God, and that's got to come first. It's more important than cleaning the blinds. It's more important than cleaning out the refrigerator or taking out the trash. I've got to get alone with my God. That doesn't mean all of those other things don't matter. Doesn't mean that we can skip cleaning our houses and say, well, I just didn't have time. I was too busy seeking the Lord. Well, you're going to have a dirty house. But I will tell you this. If it comes to mind while you're in prayer, start thinking of it this way. Devil, you're not going to distract me. I'm going to write it down so I remember it, but I'm not going to do it now. Everything that seems urgent isn't that urgent. It can be done later. Put your mind at rest and rest in God, because the time that we have now is a precious thing. The key to valuing our time is not simply by doing more, but it is being more productive in the things that please God. Because you can get more productive in trivial things. There is 100 books out there to tell you how to live a more productive life. And God forbid that this morning as I'm preaching, you think I'm just trying to tell you how to live more productive lives in 2023. Well, if it goes there, wonderful. But I want that to just be the off-scouring of it. Because at the center focus of this is I want your life to mean something for God. Because if it doesn't mean something for Him, I don't care how many more things you get done in your day. I don't care how many more hours you get to put into cleaning or whatever else have you. If it's not first and foremost for the glory of God, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Oh, the key to doing more is with the right priority and purpose in mind. Oh, maybe perhaps we can pray this prayer. Lord, I'm not asking to simply do more, but I'm asking to do more of what pleases You. Lord, I don't want to just do more in 2023. I want to do more of what pleases You. Fourth and final thing this morning, we're going to close. Time is a passing commodity. It's present, it's precious, but it's also passing. It's here today and it's gone. Time is such a strange commodity. Think about it. You can't save it. You can't borrow it. You can't loan it. You can't leave it. And you can't take it. You can either use it or lose it. That's your two choices. You lose the time you have or you use the time you have. There is no timeouts in life. You can't go to the bank and take out a loan for more time. You can't stretch time because there's only so much that you can do in a 24-hour day. I can't share my time with you, nor can you borrow time from me. I may have shared it before, but I once came across this old poem. It goes like this. When I was a child, I laughed and wept. Then it seemed that time crept. When I was a youth, I dreamed and talked. Then it seemed that time walked. When I became a full-grown man, then time began to run. When older still I grew, then time flew. Soon I shall find in traveling on that time is finally gone. There's going to come a day you're going to realize time's gone. You know how many people I've seen and 10 years of their life go by and they've done nothing for God. They've not sought His will. They've not put Him first. They've not kept the priorities in the right place. And all of a sudden, 10 years of their life, gone. Never more to be regained. You say, what am I to do? Sit down in the dumps and scrape myself with pottery like Job? No, get up and make the most of the time that you have. We can't go back and redeem what's behind us, but I can redeem what is right now. I like the way one man described it. He said, lost yesterday, somewhere between sunrise and sunset, two golden hours, each set with 60 diamond minutes. No reward is offered, for they are gone forever. You know, I was thinking as I was preparing this message and different things begin to roll through my mind, but I was thinking about the passage of time, how it passes by so swiftly. Think back to last year. It's only one day removed from us. Last year, think about it. Brother Lee, he went in for a routine hernia surgery. He had had a more serious surgery earlier that year, I believe, that there was a lot more risk of complication, things that could have happened. But he went into what seemed like a routine hernia surgery. And I got the call on a Saturday morning when I was knelt down praying before we had our prayer meeting out here, and I got the call from Brother Derek. His wife Kathy had called. He'd passed away in the night. Had complications. Life passes. Thought about right there in the same month that Brother Lee passed away. Joshua, come here. Much. He come up in the Wednesday night program, I know, and many of you had influence in his life. Young man. Younger than myself. Not old at all. Had his life ahead of him, you would think. And in some senseless act of violence, he was killed and murdered by his own cousin. Time passing by, and people that think, oh, I've got all the time in the world. You'd look at them and say, oh, they've got plenty of opportunities. Oh, I thought about a lady that I really did not know well, and I still have only met her a time or so, but I've known through social media, her and her husband went off on vacation this year. Two beautiful children went off on vacation with their family. Had a good week. They were packing up to go home. Their little boy gets away from the house, 2 years old. He goes down to the lake and he drowns. And there I had to watch the other day as this mother, it's about my age, a little older than me, I believe, and she's there. And she's having to celebrate the third birthday of her little boy, and he's no longer here. I'm talking about time passing by, opportunities that slip through our fingers. Oh, thought about the young man I mentioned a few weeks ago, a young man by the name of Jordan Wells, on a tree cutting service. He went to work one morning after Thanksgiving, just about a week from Thanksgiving. Went to work one morning. Maybe he kissed his wife and his four children before he left. And he didn't know he'd never come back home that day. 33 years old. He had a tragic accident at work. And he never come home. You say, that's awful depressing things. I'm just here to tell you, life passes by. And there's going to come a day when we realize it's gone. I said, oh God, don't let me waste it. I don't know if I'll see all the way through 2023. I hope I do. By the Lord's grace, I believe I will. If He tarries, But I say, Lord, I'd hate to be standing in 2024 and the first Sunday standing behind the pulpit thinking I'm in the same place I was last year at this time. I don't want to be in the same place. I say, Lord, let me make this year count for you. As every person stands all over this building. Ephesians 5, Paul says these words. I'll take you back to our text. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that thou walk circumspectly, or walk looking around you, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. This is the time of your life. We talk about that oftentimes. They're having the time of their life. When people are having a good time, you know, we use that cliche phrase. They're having the time of their life. Well, can I tell you, you are having the time of your life right now. Now you say, well, it isn't that great. Well, I'm just telling you, this is the time that has been afforded unto you by the hand of God. What are you going to do with it? What am I going to do with it? Oh, stop saying, if I had time. You do. You may not have time tomorrow, but you got right now. Make it happen. God's provided you with today, but no more tomorrow. No more tomorrows are promised. Give Christ your today, and you know what I found? He'll take care of your tomorrow if you give him your today. Time stops for no one. It marches on. So remember that this year will go by if the Lord tarries. How are you going to make this year count for Christ? Oh, two things I'm going to share and I'm going to close. C.T. Studd, I want to share this phrase with you, and you probably heard it before. C.T. Studd, the great missionary, I believe, to Africa, I believe it was. He said these words, two little lines I heard one say, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind it would not depart. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ shall last. The missionary working in the fields, he said, oh, that wrung and convicted my soul. There's only one life. It'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Close with one final thing. I don't know if you've ever heard of a man by the name of David Brainerd, or some people call him David Brainerd. I say Brainerd. He's a missionary. Died at the age of 29 years old. And I've been reading. I've read about him before, but I've been reading, refreshing my mind on him, because I do so every few years because it's so convicting. He died at 29 years old. He didn't get saved till he was 21 and didn't accept his call to preach till he was 23 years old. And when he was 23 years old, he went into, I believe it was Harvard or Yale. I can't remember which one it was off the top of my head. He went to school there, and as he was there studying to be a pastor, he came down with a terrible cold, what he thought it was. He almost died, and during that time, he started coughing up blood. And for the next 6 years of his life, he battled with constant sickness. It was so bad that he had to drop out of school at that time, and his hopes of becoming a pastor one day were dashed. He didn't know what he was going to do. And God led him to become a missionary to the Indians. And you know what he wrote down in his diary one day? He said these words. He said, when I really enjoy God, I find my desires of him are more insatiable or unfilled. And my thirstings after his holiness, the more unquenchable. Oh, for holiness, he says. Oh, for more of God in my soul. Oh, this pleasing pain, pleasing pain. He died of tuberculosis at 29 years old in the house of Jonathan Edwards. He said, oh, for the pleasing pain. It makes my soul press after God. And he finished with these words, oh, that I might not loiter on my heavenly journey. A man who died of tuberculosis and only had a 6-year ministry. He said, Lord, the pain that I experience, I thank you for it, because it causes me to press harder into you. And the only thing that he asked God for was not for God to take away the pain. He said, Lord, will you give me more of you? Because I don't want to waste the time that you've given me. And Jonathan Edwards' own words were this, I've never met a more devout man than David Brainerd. it'll take a man at 20 some years old give his life and walk miles in the snow so he could share the gospel, because something touched his life and he said, I'm not going to waste the life that God's given me. It's every head bows, every eyes closed this morning. I say, Lord, I'm not asking for more time. I'm asking, Lord, that you'd help us to use the time that you've given us, that we might not loiter, might not waste our time on this heavenly journey. But Lord, that everything that comes into our life, whether it seems to be good or bad, has been allowed or afforded at your hand. And I pray, oh God, that you would help us not to waste the lives that you've given us. In this first day of 2023, let us make a commitment before you that we will make whatever time that we have count the very most for your kingdom, Lord. For one day we will give an account for the time that we've been given. Only one life, and it's soon going to pass. Only what's done for you is going to last. And I pray, God, let it ring in our conscience and let it be the driving force of our souls as we press into you and we ask, God, give us more of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. I appreciate you. God bless you. I know it's challenging. I've been challenged. But you know what? We can rise to meet the challenge. And you know, I don't want us just to make commitments, but I want us to keep our commitments. When you pray and you tell God you're going to do something, keep it and follow through. And let's see God's will done in our lives. I love you. I appreciate you. God bless you on this first Sunday of 2023. And for those who are able, join us back in the back. We're going to have a first Sunday fellowship lunch. God bless you.